Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to the Talking City podcast from the Manchester Evening News. My name is Tyrone Marshall. I am sat in my office in the Northwest, but I'm joined by our city writer, Joe Bray, who is in a hotel room in Crawley. It turns out hotel rooms without a sea view, which is why Joe has gone inland since last night. Joe, how are the surrounding streets in you?
I was just saying, do you know what? I wasn't confident about a Crawley hotel stay, but it's been nice, and hopefully it gets me home a little bit quicker. But I mean, the fact that this game was only scheduled or confirmed a week before it was played adds to sort of the joke of all the scheduling issues recently. But we saw that in train prices, hotel prices. So to all of the City fans who travelled down to Brighton and made a lot of noise, fair play, because it must have been an expensive trip. And if they were staying over, they probably forked out a lot for hotel rooms in Brighton or in Crawley.
Absolutely, yeah. I know where I'd rather stay. I've got family in Crawley, so I would rather stay in Brighton.
I won't slag it off too much.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, the schedule, it's happening more and more, this kind of the game we played on Thursday, unless X, Y, and Z happens when it'll be on Wednesday. It is becoming a bit of a joke, but we will talk about the game at the Amex last night and review that first of all. We'll also talk about the title race and the significant twist that has happened this week, as well as look ahead to Forest on Sunday, relentless again at this time of the season. But to kick us off, Joe, you were there. You were at the Amex last night. A long build-up for this one in the league for City, given what had happened. The idea, the theory maybe that they were a bit under pressure, but they made that look pretty easy, didn't they?
Yeah, and the fact that Arsenal had won quite convincingly and then Liverpool lost, it really put the onus on City to perform. And we'd seen them obviously go through the two games in 3 days, not playing at the best because of that. But they did have 5 days to prepare for this, and they did just look so much fresher. It, just those 2 days seemingly had such an impact, whether it was the title race pressure that they knew they needed to perform, but it was one of the better performances I've seen in a long, long time. And I was up in the top of the third tier at the Amex Stadium, which is probably similar to being at the back of the Etihad Stadium. And while it wasn't great for seeing what the players talking about, what's happening, it was really interesting to see the movements of the players and the formation. And without Erling Haaland, you would have thought that it would be Julian Alvarez being the number nine, but he actually sort of peeled off to the left, took the two defenders with him, and that allowed De Bruyne and Foden to really make Brighton pay. And they had probably the best two games in a while. And you know, we've seen City at Brighton go a goal behind, we've seen them lose, we've seen them draw last season. Those two examples, admittedly City had won the league, but it's never been 100% easy at the Amex Stadium or even against Brighton. And this was ruthless from City. They were on it from the start. The press was high. They were really fast when they got the ball. They were maybe a bit lucky with a couple of the goals, the two Foden ones in particular, but they deserved the luck that they got. And this felt like City had a point to prove, and they had something they want to say, and they did that with the performance. And yeah, they go 3-0 up at half-time. You think, could they add a couple more goals? Could they rest players? They'd probably do a little bit of both. But it felt like a statement win with, you know, Liverpool faltering, Arsenal are looking or scoring goals and thinking that they might have got over their little blip. City are just carrying on, and the Champions League exit has not knocked them off stride one bit.
Yeah, I was in that overflow right at the top of the stand. I was telling you before with Jude Brennan in 2018-19 on the last day of the season when City won the league there. I mean, this wasn't a league clinching win just yet, but like you say, it was a statement. I mean, it's only, what, 9 days really since we were sat there during the Real Madrid game and Bernardo was talking about a treble and everyone felt that the league title was over after Arsenal and Liverpool had lost that weekend. And then you kind of fast forward to last night and rather than the league title being over, the idea is suddenly that Arsenal are right back in the hunt. It always felt like if Arsenal and Liverpool won their two games and City went in 4 points behind, this was the game, wasn't it, where the pressure was most on, because it's okay having the games in hand. And if you've got one game in hand, it feels more manageable. It's going to be a case now of they're both playing kind of, you know, the same weekend, the same game week. This was the first time that City were significantly out of kilter, I guess. And that gap of 4 points at this stage of the season, even with the games in hand, can do funny things to this stage of the season, at this stage of the season. But this team, they just don't feel the pressure in a title race, do they?
I think Guardiola was asked afterwards and he said, do you feel the pressure? He was like, well, we do, but we just know we've got to win the games. And I think if City, if they've got one game in hand and they're within however many points, they know that they need to overtake the leaders. I think that's fine. So I think it was really important for them to win. If they'd been 3 points behind, for example, with one game in hand, it is different. And seeing Liverpool fall off a cliff does help. They're now ahead of Liverpool. I wrote in my report that they might not have won the title at Brighton, but they probably ensured that Liverpool don't win it.
Yeah.
Because they're now, 2 points ahead with a game in hand and looking so much better. And when Van Dijk's asking his own players who wants to win the Premier League, when he's looking at the body language and the mentality, and Jurgen Klopp saying we need a City crisis, City looked like they really wanted to win that Premier League. And it was just the intensity, the press. We know Brighton are really good with building out from the back most of the time, not counting Foden's second goal, but that's how they play and they have a really defined style of play. Yes, they had a lot of players out, but that didn't stop how they play, and that is a style that has caused City problems. And Guardiola talked up De Zerbi, didn't he, before the game and after, and that respect still remains. But I think the way City sort of played round that, and it was a bit of a different formation, a few different players, it was just really fluid. And like I say, seeing it from a bird's eye view was not ideal in some respects, but to see the way that those players all move around, and at times Nathan Ake was a one-man defence with Walker pushing up on the right and Gvardiol providing sort of a wing-back role, Akanji marauding forward into midfield. Ake was the only one, but as soon as Brighton get the ball, it's the most defined back four you've ever seen in your life. And it felt like just having those extra couple of days really just refreshed and focused the minds. And I mean, now they've only got two and a half, 3 days to go to face Forest. So we'll see how they arrive in Nottingham. But it felt like they were back to the City that we know, and that should worry Arsenal and should probably leave Liverpool fans to make other plans than an open top parade.
Yeah, it seems that way. 3 of the 4 goals from De Bruyne and Foden. I mean, it feels like we've been talking about those two for weeks now, in the sense that it feels like the changing of the guard. They've kind of been taking it in turns to play well, I guess. I mean, I can't remember the last time they both played well in a game. You know, they started that Arsenal game together and kind of made each other worse, it felt like. And, you know, with Foden playing so much centrally, it's felt like they hadn't really clicked for a long time. It worked better when Walker's providing that width down the right sometimes and can stretch the play that way. But for the first time in ages last night, they both not only impacted a game, but they both played really well in the same team together as well, didn't they?
And what was different between that game and the previous ones? No Erling Haaland. And that's a difficult thing to say, but there's a very lovely Norwegian journalist who follows City, and his job is basically to ask about Haaland every week, and Pep Guardiola knows it's coming and sometimes engages, sometimes doesn't. And last night wasn't a Haaland story, but there was a stat that was seemingly going around in Norway that City's goals per game, goals conceded per game and points per game, all those stats are better when Haaland doesn't play. And I think it's 14 games without him compared to 28 or something with him. So it's not quite comparable. But you did see that the space was there for Foden and De Bruyne to go forward in exactly where Haaland would be. So I think it was a very, very promising display with both of them. It was massively helped by Alvarez playing a really unselfish role, dragging the two defenders out and sort of playing a wing role. Guardiola said afterwards that they made a decision not to play with wingers, so I don't want to say he was playing on the wing, but he was moving the defenders away from exactly where De Bruyne and Foden wanted to be. But yeah, I think I've made the point, and we spoke on the last podcast, I've written a piece, and we've spoken in the office about De Bruyne's form recently. He's been scoring the big goals, hasn't he, and big assists, but has that level of performance been up to his incredibly high standards? I don't think... I think my piece was made to look a bit silly last night because he was brilliant. He was chasing every ball. He was back to the sort of breaking the lines play, swashbuckling De Bruyne that we know, and that header was superb. Like, it looked from up high that he'd caught it sweetly and got in the top corner, but I was thinking, no, De Bruyne doesn't do headers. He's not done a Van Persie header into the top corner. And then I look at the replay and I'm thinking, he absolutely has. And yeah, he was brilliant. And just wherever he was, Foden was as well. They were playing really close together, but doing their own thing. And I think, yeah, Guardiola said it's one of Foden's best performances for a while. And yeah, Foden gets a bit of luck with a deflected free kick, and he's given the goal to stroke it in for the third one when Brighton are playing out from the back. But I think even without that, he would have probably been City's best player on the night, because he was at the centre of everything. He earned the luck, and you know, Brighton fans were furious at the fact that he won the free kick, but I don't think it was that bad a decision. And yeah, Foden was brilliant. De Bruyne was back to his best, and I was sort of backtracking a little bit on the pieces I've been writing about him not being 100% in his overall play.
That is the danger with Kevin De Bruyne, isn't it? That he can make you look silly very, very quickly. Yeah. And from the roof of the Amex, you probably had a pretty good view of the difference, I guess, with City, with Alvarez and Haaland. And I mean, Brighton is probably a really good game to have Alvarez instead of Haaland. They do a lot of man marking, and it's probably easy for Alvarez to use that movement and drag defenders out of shape and create the space. But it is becoming a fascinating contrast, isn't it? Because Haaland, you know, we know we don't need to talk about his build-up play again. We know it's not brilliant. We know his you know, the movement. He drops deep occasionally, but it's nowhere near the level of Haaland in terms of dragging players out of position. His movement's good between the centre halves and sniffing out space. But they are two very different kind of focal points, I guess, aren't they? And it means that City play often around the penalty area as well, in two very different ways when they're in the team.
Yeah, and I mean, Haaland has scored two really good direct goals against Brighton. I remember the one where I can't remember the defender, Adam Webster maybe, he just bodied off the ball and at the Etihad when Edison was going long. And I mean, Edison was trying that ball all night to just go direct. And I mean, it came off for the Alvarez goal in the second half. And yeah, I think this is the way to play with Alvarez. I think they often get drawn into the trap of trying to play exactly the same, but Alvarez is a different player. And I just think this is one of his better performances in a while. And he went into this game with one goal in 16 appearances, and 10 of those were starts. So it's not like he was coming off the bench for just 5-10 minutes. He was in a couple, but he was playing a significant amount of time. So I think it was good that he got a goal. But even without it, yeah, he would have had a sort of unsung hero role to play, because he dragged those defenders away to allow the space that De Bruyne and Foden needed. I'm not sure Haaland would have done that, because Haaland likes to be in the middle. If you ask Haaland to be sort of away from the area on the right, is he going to do as much as Alvarez does in terms of linking the play and playing in the fullback and that sort of thing? But Guardiola was asked this question, and his immediate answer was, I would much prefer to have Haaland in the team. So it's not a case of this being a new plan A. This is very much a plan B, but it looked like a plan B that came off a lot better than it has in recent weeks. And, you know, Guardiola didn't seem to confirm whether Haaland would be back or not for Forest. He said he feels better, but at this stage you can't tell, and there's only a couple of days, so who knows what will change and what won't. But if that is the system at Forest, it'll be a different game. Forest will be a lot deeper. But I think that there'll be a bit more confidence that they can do something without Haaland. And I mean, we're saying this as well. Haaland was out for about 2 or 3 months, wasn't he? And Alvarez played really well. And I think the fact that we're now seeing Alves get a little bit back to his best form of the season is also encouraging with five games to go.
Yeah, definitely. That's all for the first part of the Talking City podcast. We'll be back after the break to delve into the title race in a little more detail. Welcome back to the Talking City podcast. So City back into second, closing the gap on Arsenal. But in terms of the title race this week, Joe, I guess the main headline is that, and then there were two.
Yeah, I mean, Guard, again, talking of pieces I've written that are immediately out of date, I wrote a report saying this is the day that probably Liverpool are knocked out and a three-horse race becomes two. And yeah, as I said before, if Klopp's looking for a crisis and Van Dijk wants to see players who want to win the Premier League, City really, really showed that they're still in this race, and not that they're ever out of it, but they are very, very much determined to put the schedule aside and just win their games. And then Guardiola comes out and says, nope, Liverpool are still in it. If they can lose two in a row, so can we, and so can Arsenal. So he's not taking anything for granted, but when you're hearing your captain come out and say that and question the mentality, especially in a derby, the sort of the Merseyside derby that Liverpool were just rubbish in, basically, I think that is as damning as the result itself. And they've effectively conceded that they're not going to win the title. I think they've got at least one more difficult game to come if they got to play Spurs.
Spurs at home and Villa away.
Yeah, so I mean, they're not easy games at all, are they? And City don't have five easy games. They've got a couple of tricky ones, but yeah, it looks like it's just unravelled a bit at Liverpool, and they're just as unsure at why it's happened as the rest of us. But then you look at Arsenal, and they've, you know, Chelsea was meant to be a difficult game for them, and you know, Chelsea could have won the semi final against City, and they were playing really well, but it seems like without Cole Palmer, they were nothing. And Arsenal got their goal difference back up, another five goals on there. And yeah, it was quite a big week in the title race. But I just think that City's performance, with all that context, will worry Arsenal more than Arsenal's result will worry City.
Yeah, definitely. And you get why Guardiola is saying it about losing two in a row, and if it can happen to Liverpool, it can happen to us. But at the risk of tempting fate, it just won't happen to City, will it? You look at, City's fixtures that they've got left, you look at that and it's hard to see how they lose two of those games, and you just don't see them collapsing in the way that Liverpool have done, really. Liverpool, whether they've run out of steam, whether it's the emotional energy that kind of this Klopp last dance has taken up, whether it's the fact that they failed to beat Manchester United and have seemingly been embarrassed by that and have just fallen away after those games, you just don't see City collapsing in that same way, do you? And you've never seen it, and that's what makes you think that you won't see it this season.
And yeah, City had the heartbreak of penalties against Real Madrid when they should have won, and then they just do what they need to do, they grind out that result at Chelsea, and then this felt like a real response to that. And the treble died last week, but they made sure that the double is still on. And yeah, I think the result for Liverpool that was the most shocking for them was the Atalanta one, the 3-0 at home. I think that was the real, like, we're not invincible anymore. And you can go to Old Trafford, and Guardiola knows this, and whatever state United are in, it's a big game, and they can turn up once in a blue moon, to steal a City phrase. But I think that Atalanta one really hurt them. And then, yeah, I'm struggling with my timelines, but they didn't play well against Palace. Then, if you're not up for a derby against Everton, and I think, was it 14 years Everton haven't beaten Liverpool at Goodison, and it's just the red flag after red flag. So, I mean, Guardiola will always say that, won't he? That it can still happen, and they're not out of it. What I would say is City had two games that they didn't win last year away at Forest. And you know, the atmosphere and the sort of the pitch there, and just the context of that game, with Forest being annoyed at anything and anyone that goes against them, and then Spurs away on the last week of the season, where they've still not won in the Premier League, they've not scored in the Premier League. So you do never know, but yeah, the way City are playing looks like they're really determined, and you would back them to improve on the mistakes that they've made in the past.
You would, yeah. And you wonder if the most dangerous point of City season has maybe been and gone. You know, you mentioned that Atalanta defeat. Liverpool lost to Atalanta, then lost to Palace 3 days later. Arsenal lost to Villa, then lost to Bayern Munich 3-4 days later. Both of them have kind of had one bad result and let it seep into the next game, whereas City went out to Real Madrid and just showed their mettle, didn't they, basically, against Chelsea and got back on the horse and are kind of over it now. But if we are discounting Liverpool, and we definitely are, then Arsenal are the challengers. I mean, it's a fair play. They've recovered really well this week. They, as bad as Chelsea were on Tuesday, Arsenal were sensational. And some of the football they are playing is absolutely brilliant at the moment. It doesn't look like they're going to fall away like they did last season, although this weekend is obviously going to be massive for that. But it's a difficult one to call, isn't it? Because they look stronger than last year. They look a better, more rounded team. But they've got two difficult away games in Tottenham and United. And it feels like they've still got to work just to take this to the last day of the season, really.
Tottenham could have a real say in this title suddenly, yeah. Couldn't they? And, you know, they've got to host Arsenal and City. So, yeah, I think that will be... I would compare those fixtures quite evenly. City obviously have a game in hand, but, you know, both teams have a couple of tricky away games. Or both playing teams also fighting relegation. And yeah, I think I didn't watch the Arsenal game. I was at the Lee Sports Village for City's unfortunate under-18s Premier League Cup defeat to United, which I'm sure they don't want to talk about too much. But yeah, I think I was surprised to see that Arsenal won as heavily as they did, especially because Chelsea were all right, were quite good, had Nicholas Jackson being anything resembling a professional footballer, City might have lost that semi-final. So, yeah, I thought Chelsea would put up more of a fight and I thought Arsenal would find it difficult. But if we're praising City for bouncing back from a couple of difficult games and performances and scheduling issues, then we've got to praise Arsenal as well, because that was a really big result. And the fact that they've got such a healthy goal difference, City could draw one game, win the rest. Arsenal could win all of those and it'll come down to goal difference. And that is a bit daunting for City because their goal difference is inferior. And I think Guardiola himself said they can't really catch that up. I was wondering at half-time against Brighton, would they try and get two or three more? I think they did try. They kept all the best players on, and then it got to about 75 minutes and the decision was taken to take a number of players off. But yeah, I think Arsenal just keep scoring, so City just know exactly what they have to do, which is win all their games. And if they get a favour from Tottenham and United, then great. But they never relied on favours from anyone else in the past, so I don't think they're going to do it this time.
I mean, how much is City's experience going to play a part, do you think? I mean, this is their time of the season. And this is when they come alive. They've beaten Liverpool in tight title races where the margin for error has been non-existent and they just haven't made an error. They're in that kind of mood now. Guardiola always talks about his players coming alive when they know that one slip, so to speak, is fatal. And it does feel like they're in that mood now, doesn't it? And you think you wonder one day they probably won't win one of these tight title races. But when they keep doing it, It gives you that belief that they will do it, doesn't it? And as much as this is a really close title race, I think they'd have to go quite far and wide to find a neutral who probably doesn't think City will win it or City are strong favourites at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Guardiola was asked that and he was like, just because we've done it in the past doesn't mean we'll do it again. But you hear the players say, just get us to April in contention. And it does feel like muscle memory takes over, and that experience of knowing just to take one game at a time. They know how to recover between games. They used to play, they're complaining about the schedule, of course they are, but they know how to get through and just do what they need to do, and maybe complaining is part of helping to do that. One thing that is different this year, which probably goes in their favour is that they're not in the Champions League semi-finals. They've done that for the last 3 years, which is they'd be coming up to two midweek games in as many weeks now. Guardiola is very much looking forward to having two clear weeks after the Forest game, before the Wolves game, and then Fulham, I believe. So the fact that they've got that time to really get everyone back and fit and rest them, and he said he was going to put them in the fridge before the Brighton game. He'll probably put them firmly back in there before the Forest game, and you wouldn't be surprised to see him give his players some time off in those two longer weeks that he's got. And I think he's also very good at doing that. He's good at telling them, I don't want to see you, come back after a couple of days, do whatever you want, go on holiday, spend time with your family. And I think that is just as important as all the work on the training ground. He said the other week that they're only doing 5 or 10 minute training sessions, and you can believe that he says that. We know he likes to exaggerate, but you also believe that there is just minimal time to work on things like that. So it is experience, and as much as he says it doesn't count for anything, these players know exactly what to do, and the players who've been there and done it can sort of talk through to the newer players and the younger players. I think the fact that City know what they're doing, and they are so used to winning these games, they've not lost since, was it early December against Aston Villa? Arsenal and Liverpool know that. They know they can't slip up, and if they're in a losing position, it becomes more and more and more important that they win that game. It's not just calm down, let's just do what we do. They probably feel, even subconsciously, that any defeat or drop points could spell the end of their title race, because they just know City are there. So, yeah, I think it's somewhere between the maybe lazy view that City, of course, City are going to romp to the title, but also I don't think Guardiola, when he says that it counts for nothing, it definitely does count for something.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all for the second part of the Talking City podcast. We'll be back after this break to look ahead to the weekend. Welcome back to the Talking City podcast. A sharp turnaround then, City at Forest on Sunday. So let's look ahead to that game. And of course, we know, thanks to Netflix, Joe, that ahead of this game last year, some of the City players were watching, I think it's Aston Villa versus Arsenal, wasn't it, in the Saturday lunchtime game, which was a hell of a game. And a game where I think Arsenal scored two very late goals to get the win. I think when they rock up at the City ground this weekend, they'll probably be tuning into the North London derby. It's a huge game in the title race. It's probably Arsenal's most difficult game that they've got left. They've got United away, but that's not really a difficult game at the moment. So this is probably the toughest game that they've got left. So it's fair to say, in the build-up there, while they're on the way to Forest, there is going to be some attention paid to what's going on in North London, isn't there?
I thought that was one of the, not maddest parts of the documentary, but it's one of the points where I was like the most surprised, because they're in the dressing room, they've just arrived at Forest, and they're crowding around someone's phone, I can't remember who, to watch it, just like you would with your mates at the pub when you see that there's a big result. I remember being in the stand there, and I was sort of previewing the game on a Facebook video for MEN, and I was saying, oh, Arsenal are going to drop points here, and then as I'm doing it, I can see the screen, and I think they go through and score that late goal and win. And it was a massive result for Arsenal. It was when Arsenal were starting to say, we can do this here, and they really started to believe. And Villa were good. They're not as good as this season, obviously, but they were a very good side last season. And yeah, I found that very noticeable when I was watching the documentary, and especially when you then see the result, because City dominated that game. Guardiola said it was the best performance of the season, as he often does when they drop points, but they scored the goal and didn't put Forest out of sight, and Forest got that goal late on, and Erling Haaland misses a sitter and then a rebound sitter, and all the questions about, is he getting enough service, and is he happy, and is he happy with his teammates? And it just felt like something wasn't right, but Guardiola didn't feel that, and then they go and win all the games until they've won the title, and it was a sort of a turning point in the season. But I think that will really sort of focus minds when they go there this season, because Forest are not out of the relegation zone. They feel like every single official is against them, and, you know, they're digging up histories of who referees and VAR officials support, and we're all laughing at that and saying it's ridiculous and what sort of professional football club does that. But Forest clearly feel a sense of injustice, and their fans do as well, and they've got a relegation battle to fight for. They feel like it's them against the world, and I can see it being a really fierce atmosphere there, and I can see them trying to do exactly what they did last season. And they've got a couple of good results behind them at times this season. They know how to play against these big sides and frustrate them. And yes, City were able to play through the Brighton press because Brighton were trying to work through the lines, and that created space. There's going to be no space at Forest, and it's going to be very much all the ball in the Forest area and final third, and then be aware of the breaks. And yeah, I think it's probably not the game you want after less than three days to turn around. Guardiola did make the point of saying it's even less of a turnaround than between the Madrid game and the Chelsea game last week. And he was saying because they've had to come back from Brighton to get back in the early hours of Friday morning, then they just have a quick recovery session, a little bit of a training session on Saturday, and then they've got to go over to Forest. I think he said they've got a fly to Nottingham, but I imagine he was not entirely in tune with how they're going to get over to Nottingham. But yeah, I think add City's tiredness and add Forest's sort of injustice, I think it could be a bit of a banana skin.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that Netflix clip is great for us, because now when we ask players, are you watching your rivals, and they say no, we can say, well, we know you are, so give us a proper answer. But yeah, you're right, there's probably going to be a siege mentality at Forest this week, as much as the other 19 clubs and every other fan in the country is laughing at them, totally losing their heads. It's clearly going to create a siege mentality there, and maybe it's going to be a day for 1,000 million passes, as Guardiola would say, and just try and take the sting out of that crowd, I guess, and calm it down, because that is what Guardiola loves to do, doesn't it? In those kind of, I'm not sure the hostile is the right word for the City ground, but it's that kind of environment. It's probably going to be loud and raucous, and you do want to just, City will know if for 15, 20 minutes they just have 80, 85% possession, then the crowd will get bored pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't think hostile is a word, but there is something about that crowd. It really, really helped them last season. And listen, yeah, everyone thinks it's ridiculous what they're doing with putting childish statements out on Twitter, but if it creates some sort of, like say, siege mentality and it helps them stay up, they'll take whatever fine in the world they get, because it could be a crazy way to sort of give them something to rally behind and stay up. So yeah, I think Guardiola was quite diplomatic when he was asked, would you do that? And he was like, no, I never criticise referees, and I never look at who the referee is until I arrive at the game. And I'm sure we can probably dig up some comments, but generally he is pretty good at steering away from criticising referees. And I always think with referees, if the ref makes a mistake, you can point at every single player on the pitch who's also made it, dropped a bit of a clanger in the game. It's just that the referee's mistake is a bit more scrutinised and could more often lead to a goal or something that influences the game. But I can see why Forest feel that they're annoyed, but Wolves are also on the end of a lot of bad decisions this season. So, I just think the way they've gone about it is, I don't see how it's going to help them, but it could somehow. It could be one of those situations that's so crazy that it could be, there could be a method in the madness.
Yeah, quite possibly. You were speaking to Guardiola last night. What are we expecting on the team news front then? What's the latest on Haaland, I guess, is the big one?
I mean, he only talks about Haaland. You said he feels better, but couldn't confirm either way. So take from that what you will. It is tricky because of the tight turnaround between games, the Thursday evening game. We sort of did the Friday press conference on the Thursday night, and it's hard to say, can you give us any team news when he's still at the Amex Stadium? So I think it will be a case of resting and rotating players. The fact that he was able to take off with 20 minutes to spare De Bruyne, Foden, Rodri, Bernardo and Walker, that showed where the the moment that the priority shifted to resting players and preserving those players. So you could probably expect those players to start a bit. You have Grealish, who only played a little bit, and the tempo was really down at Brighton by the time he came on. Doku, they could come on. And I think Grealish will be quite an important player to bring on against Forest, just the way he keeps the ball and that kind of thing. So you've got Ruben Dias and John Stones, who were on the bench, possibly for fitness reasons for Stones, but Dias has played a lot of football, so they could come in to refresh the defence a little bit. Then you've got one of Ake or Gvardiol on at left back. Kovacic was playing at Brighton, possibly to ease the legs of Rodri a bit. So you do have options, and the fact that we expect City to have a lot of the ball could also mean that it's easier to have possession rather than not have possession, because then you're using more energy. So I would still expect City to win whoever they put out, but it's going to be difficult. I think we might see a performance closer to the Chelsea game than the Brighton game.
Yeah, like I say, that there are, you know, beyond the issues with Haaland, there are options there now. Guardiola making 5 subs for, I think, the first time since the 6-2 win at Luton in the FA Cup. So managing to get a rest there. So looking ahead to the game then, you'll be heading to Nottingham as well. Joe, you're not flying home from Crawley. You'll be driving home today. So I think our sympathy would be with you, really, rather than the City players. But what are you expecting then? By the sounds of things, we're thinking it's going to be a grind for City, one of those games that they have to show their fighting spirit, maybe, rather than their quality.
On the subject of having sympathy for City players, we obviously came into the game with Bernardo saying that they're playing too much, and everything Guardiola said after the Chelsea game. Before the kickoff, the hardest geezer guy who ran the length of Africa was introduced to the fans, because he's apparently a Brighton fan, and it did make me think, does he have any sympathy with these Premier League footballers who has to play 180 minutes in 3 days when he's just run about 5 marathons a day for the best part of a year? So City do have a legitimate concern, but it did put that into perspective a little bit for me. Yeah, I think City will play exactly as they did last year, and I think they will get that second goal and maybe a third to kill the game off. I don't think it'll be a game where they can add too many to the goal difference. I'm going to say 3-1, but more of a nervy one. Maybe the third one late on, just to calm the nerves.
Good stuff. Well, thanks for that, Joe. We will, of course, be back on Monday to discuss everything that's happened at the City Ground. For now, we'll let you get off and check out your hotel and hit the M25 and start your journey home. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Please leave us a review, like and subscribe and all of that usual stuff. And we'll be back with you on Monday.